Blessings, saints. God bless you, and thank you for being with us today. Let's go to the Father and ask Him for His grace today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for your precious Son who is working all things together for our good. Thank you. And Lord, please give us your wisdom today and anoint us to study your word and to have good fellowship one with another and share with one another dreams, visions, revelations. Lord, I ask you to reach out and touch the brethren that are joining us today who would like to have good dreams and revelations from you, that you would pour out that gift upon them in Jesus' name, Father, and that also that you would touch many with a word of knowledge and word of wisdom, Lord, that you would speak to them things that those precious secrets that you hold for your elect, Lord, and that you would grant all of your people out there grace to understand the things that were the foundations that we're laying, Lord, for the days to come. And we praise you, Father, for your grace, your provision to reach out and touch the brethren, Lord, and meet their needs and heal their bodies and their minds and deliver and all those wonderful things that the Lord Jesus still does today. Lord, we're thanking you, Father, for your favor upon us, Lord. We don't deserve it, but it is your grace, and we do trust you and we do believe your word today, Lord. And we know that's how your grace continues to flow to us and causes us to be more than what we can possibly be because Christ lives in us. Lord, we thank you. Lord, touch our brethren around the world, Lord, who are in dire circumstances and in great need. And Lord, speak to them. Pour out your gifts among them. Provide for them. Lord, so many people around the world that are Christians, Lord, don't have a lot of time in the Word. Sometimes they can't read. Sometimes it's not available. And they don't have a real depth in you, Lord. And I just ask you, by your Spirit, to do a miracle for those folks, Lord. Just provide for them, Father. Provide wisdom and direction. Let them learn to hear the voice of your Spirit and provide them with the Word of God. And Lord, we want to see a wonderful revival. We're so excited at what you've been telling us lately about the great revival that's coming. We're so excited to see people coming into the kingdom. It's such a miserable thought that the multitudes will just go right on off into eternity, not knowing you. We know that you're all wise and all knowing. And we're just asking you, Father, to give grace to your elect to be overcomers and send people to them that will be their teachers and healers and whatever, Lord. We just ask that you would send forth laborers into the harvest as you taught us to pray, Lord. We know that the time is very short, Lord, and that you are going to do a quick work. And what you've done in years, you're going to do in months and months and days. And we know that everything's going to speed up now, and your grace is going to be much greater than it used to be. You're going to cause people to walk into the kingdom, in some cases, just because you've moved on their heart, not because anyone has spoken the gospel to them. And we're thanking you for the wonderful revival that you've got planned, and it just encourages us, the multitudes coming into the kingdom now, Lord. We're just so encouraged, and we thank you, Father. But they also need teaching, Father, and that's why we know that you're helping us to be able to get a word out there. We pray, Lord, that we have all these TV programs on time, Lord, for the start of whatever you're going to do with us. And we praise you for that. We're just making one step at a time, Lord, and we're just thanking you that you're working us, in us the wisdom, and you're giving us the provision. You're sending the expertise. God, we thank you for all the wonderful, wise, gifted help that you sent, Lord, to get this ministry up on its feet, to be able to be a blessing to your people. Thank you, Father. Thank you. It is truly a body, Lord, a body ministry. We thank you so much for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, I think we told you last time that you that are joining us by internet stream, if you have any problems, you can go to spirit1.us and click on Listen Live Now, and you can listen in. We are still in the process, unless Bob is and Darcy have finished it in just the last little bit, of getting our own server up. We were going through a middleman, and it just wasn't working out. But we know that the Lord is doing this to prepare for what's coming down the road. And this is going to be helpful to us. So they're working hard to get the server up and going, everything transferred and all that. So you keep them in prayer. They work real hard to get the ministry up and going. God bless them. And, you know, I just got this in the mail while we were talking about revivals. I got this in the mail a while ago. I wanted to share it with you. It's a couple of pretty good testimonies. I don't know if any of y'all have ever kept up with the Jesus film project, but it's touching a lot of people that probably don't ever get to watch movies or whatever. And these people, evangelists, travel around and just show this Jesus film, and lots of people come to the Lord, and it's a blessing. I tell you, I like to see people come into the kingdom. I also like to pray that after they come into the kingdom, God will send them wise teaching so that they can stand. Because, that's just the beginning. Some people feel like that's all that's necessary, you know, just get them saved. And, you know, but they need the word now. So you pray for these people. But let me read this testimony to you, a couple of them here that are pretty neat, I think. Dear friend in Christ, is anything too hard for God? Clearly not. For he is drawing people to himself, even in the most difficult circumstances. In fact, that's when he draws people to himself more successfully, as in difficult circumstances, right? Well, that's why I want you to hear this amazing report. An evangelist was leading a team into difficult regions of Africa, taking the Jesus film to people who had never heard. And despite the initial resistance, he saw people coming to Christ in very large numbers. He and his fellow workers were using the Jesus film, one of the most accurate films ever produced on the life of Christ. Every word that Jesus speaks is a direct quote from the scriptures. The film is the very word of God, translated into the local language, brought to life on the film screen. This particular team was doing about 6 outreaches a week in the bush in a very tough location. They were headed for a large village and had sent a co-worker ahead to arrange a meeting with the chief and to ask his permission and announce the showing of Jesus. He said, "I will let the team leader tell the rest of the story." Quote, "When I arrived, the worker was trying fruitlessly to persuade the chief. He wanted nothing to do with Jesus and declared, 'I lead the house of prayer, and I am the chief of the village. Since this village has existed, we have never allowed any other religion. You will do nothing here.' With the Holy Spirit as my guide, I respectfully replied, 'We are coming here to show you and your people the Jesus film. Preach the gospel and heal the sick.' He responded, 'What did you say?' I said, 'Heal the sick.' 'Really? Is that possible?' 'Yes, if you allow us to show the Jesus film and preach the gospel.' He looked at his second-in-command and fell silent. There was a pause as he thought. The chief turned back to me and said, 'Really? Heal the sick?' Okay, we want to see this. With his permission, the film team went to work at a large soccer field. They unloaded the projection equipment, generator, threaded the film, set up the screen, speaker, lights. Then they went about announcing the film. Around 5,000 people came that night and filled the soccer field. It was standing room only. Something was happening. And as the projector started, I went to the car and prayed, asking God to give me a word for these people when the film concluded. They were deeply moved by the Jesus film. So much was literally foreign to them, yet so wondrous. They were stunned by the life of this good man, his crucifixion and resurrection. In a parenthesis here, it says he is describing the power of the Word of God on which the film is totally based, a message that penetrated deep into their souls. And then the man went on to say, the people were listening in a way I have never seen in all the outreaches. I felt like the Holy Spirit was hovering over the entire soccer field and village, calling them out of darkness. His presence was so strong. Over the microphone, I called out, "How many here recognize a need for a Savior?" And almost everybody raised his hand. There was a group of young people on my right. Some raised their hands and voices. "We want our sins to be forgiven." Then others on the other side cried out, "We want our sins to be forgiven." Everyone began crying out to God for mercy. So in that moment, I led the entire group of 5,000 in the prayer of salvation. Then I spoke to the crowd. "This Jesus is not only a Savior, but He is a healer. And today He wants to heal anybody who is sick. Bring your sick forward." So one by one they came. First about 12 men and women with back problems. He healed them all instantly. They brought a young deaf boy, about 8 years old, and the Lord healed him. People kept coming and kept being healed. God was at work affirming His Word and His Son. It was simply incredible. It's amazing how the gospel will touch people that have never heard it, but how hardened people are who hear it over and over and over, and especially when they don't get to hear a really good version of it, right? and a really good presentation of the gospel. But people that have never heard it, it's amazing how it really touches them. Their hearts are not hardened towards it, and it can really move greatly on them. He goes on to say, "On my right stood the chief, the leader of the village, and the mosque. Now I turned to him and I said, 'Do you see what is happening?' He answered, 'Yes. Can I say something to my people?' I gave him the microphone and he stepped forward. To the 5,000 he spoke, 'What you have just seen is real, because there is no man who can do what you have seen unless God is with him and with these people who have come to us. The Lord is with them. Now bring all the sick from the village. Go home now and bring them here.' As I continued to pray for the people, a father came running. He was holding his daughter. She was 7 years old, born totally blind. He pleaded with me, 'Please pray for my daughter,' I said. 'Do you believe Jesus will heal her?' He answered, 'That's why I brought her.' I prayed and then moved my hand across her face. She started to move and follow my hand, and she was able to see. She moved her head to the left, to the stage lights. She was just amazed by the lights and everything she was seeing. Still in her father's arms, he asked her, 'Do you see? Do you see?' She turned her eyes to him and looked on her father's face for the first time in her life. She knew his voice, but had never seen his face. She looked on both their faces was amazing. She answered, I can see you. She answered, I can see you. Our God is so wonderful. That day the people saw the gospel lived out before them through these affirming miracles and through the Jesus film in their own language. They experienced the living Word of God that the Holy Spirit used to transform them for all eternity. This is the reason for my letter. I'm asking for your help today because hundreds of Christians workers are ready to show Jesus to people who have yet to experience the transforming power of the Word of God. Many of these workers have mapped out entire regions without a single witness for the gospel. They need partners like yourselves who will pray for their ministries and send them forth. And I feel a special urgency to invite your help on behalf of these workers. There are several major evangelistic campaigns currently underway in Africa or about to be launched. Many are in restricted or difficult areas. Their tool of choice to reach people who have never heard the Jesus film. That's why they are asking for your partnership and why I'm writing to you today. Now, this last story comes from another country where the work of proclaiming Christ is difficult. This country has been in the throes of civil war now for 6 years. A Jesus film team felt led to reach out to the army. They approached a military commander and showed him and his officers, Jesus. As a result, a number of officers became followers of Jesus and were actually trained to use the Jesus film. Amazing. The soldiers then took the team behind enemy lines, transporting them and their 16mm equipment. The soldiers provided protection as the Jesus film team proclaimed the gospel to 30,000 people. The result was that 15,000 people indicated decisions for Christ. And here's a great way for your gift to reach hundreds, if not thousands, more with Jesus. And he goes on to talk about matching donor and so on and so forth, you know. And, of course, if any of you want to give to this, I'm pointing out the wondrous work that the Lord is doing with films like that to touch people. If any of you are interested in giving to this, this is a ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ International. Now, as far as evangelism, they've been doing a pretty good job. As far as teaching, I don't think so. But you can support just the Jesus film project, which I think I've seen this film before, and it's pretty good. Anyway, the address is the Jesus Film Project, Post Office Box 628222, Orlando, Florida, 32862. That's the Jesus Film Project, Post Office Box 628222, Orlando, Florida, 32862. Anyway, isn't it great that the Lord is moving in our day in healing and miracles and bringing people into the kingdom? I'm kind of excited, and I can't wait. I believe that the time to come is going to be a great time of people coming into the kingdom, because, as you know, the ministry of the man-child is coming, and it doesn't do you much good if you don't know the Lord, right? So those people whom the Lord has called are going to come forward and receive the Lord and things like this and many other things. And then, by the way, those people will need teaching, and that's where our ministry will come in, is we're going to get some teaching out there to them. As many satellites as we can reach out and take, we're going to put it to them in that way, and through cable and through other modes. So praise be to God. This is a very touching dream that was given to Rule Stewart that I want to share with you. That may spark you to talk to the people around you. You know, we know from the book of Acts that people were not very satisfied with their ability to get the gospel out. And they cried out to the Lord, you know. And the Lord answered. And I think that there are so many people out there that wish they were bolder for the Lord, and yet they are afraid to step out and share Jesus and afraid to confess him before men and so on. And let me read this to you. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. "And now, Lord, look upon their threatenings." And, of course, he was talking about the people who had crucified the Lord, basically. "Look upon their threatenings and grant unto thy servants to speak the word with all boldness. While thou stretchest forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of thy holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken wherein they were gathered, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Praise God. That's what we need, folks, boldness. And those of you out there that haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to pray that God will do that, give you the boldness. And, of course, the ability to minister the gospel with signs and wonders, with proof, right? And let me share Rule's dream here. It's very good. "I walked into a large room that resembled a large football stadium. I had a lot of bleachers, and there were thousands of people in the bleachers. As I walked in, I realized that I could not leave the way I came in. And as I looked around, I noticed that in the center field of the stadium, there was about 15 to 20 people that had white, shiny, glowing robes on. Everyone in the bleachers were focused on them." I'm suspecting that this is talking about the people who were prepared and anointed and walking holy before the Lord in a time when multitudes of people are about to come to God. So, you know, there's just a few out there doing this, folks. There's just a few really sharing the gospel. Not like there's going to be. There's just a few. "So everyone in the bleachers were focused on them. They were talking, but I could not hear what they were saying. They had a look of perfect peace and understanding. One of the people was my little sister-in-law. She is now 16. And seemed to be about the same age. She had a harp or some sort of musical instrument, and she was playing it. The next thing I noticed was my other in-laws in the bleachers looking at her all excited and saying, 'Look, there's Maria. She is glowing.'" Yes, the Lord is going to glorify, at least in spirit, very soon, quite a number of people, you know. You know, Maria is Mary in English. And Mary was promised to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ, right? Luke 1 and 31 says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And, of course, because she believed the word, it came to pass. Now, verse 45 says, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord." So Mary represents these people who have come to manifest the fruit of Jesus. And we know that the first fruits, the 144,000, the man-child, are the ones who could learn the song with the harp in Revelation 14, 2 and 4, the new song. And only those who bear fruit are spiritually the mother of Jesus, right? 8 and 21 says, But he answered and said unto them, "My mother and my brethren are these that hear the word of God and do it." Well, that lets you know, folks, that it's not those that just accept Jesus. Some people, they accept Jesus in some, you know, auditorium or church or even talking to someone. And they are told in some cases that that's all there is to it, you know. And that's a sad thing, because we can see plainly that the only one that's the mother of Jesus is those that hear the word of God and do it. They so much talk against obedience. They say it's not grace if you talk obedience, right? Well, believers, true believers, will obey because their faith gives them power. The people who don't want to obey, that's not the people that are going to make it at all. In fact, they're going to be deceived by droves. So Rule goes on to say, at this point I looked to my left and realized that everyone was funneling to the only exit of the stadium. After they heard from these people, I guess, you know, they were going out the only exit of the stadium. And I was curious as to where they were going. I walked around to the bleachers so that I could see the exit. And standing in front of the exit, there was an angel. And behind him were two paths. On the left side, there was an escalator going down. I looked and I saw that the escalator disappeared into the lake of fire. I also saw thousands of people's heads sticking out of the lake of fire. They were all screaming in agony and were all being burned alive. And then I looked to the right and I saw a door. The door was white and it was, and as it opened, I saw there was a bright whiteness behind the door. I then focused on the long line of people standing in front of the angel. They would only pause momentarily before being directed to the right or the left. Very few people were directed to the right. And I was shocked at how many people were being told to go to the left. They had no choice, and they could not fight it or protest. Well, it's just a matter of nature, isn't it, folks? If left alone, there's no way you can enter the kingdom of heaven. It has to be by grace. It has to be by the drawing power of God. It has to be because He's given you a gift of faith and because He's granted you repentance. So, yes, the lost people can't fight it. They can't protest it. They can't do anything. It's according to their nature. They are of their father, the devil, right? So he says they just would get on the escalator and disappear into the fire, and then their screams would be heard. I then realized this was the end, the judgment. Well, I don't know. Did you notice how short a time this took? You know, I mean, here are these people sharing the word in the middle of the auditorium. And suddenly people have to make a decision very quickly because leaving the auditorium is the end, right? Well, that's where we're coming, folks. There's just not a lot of time left. We need to do something fast. We need to obey the Lord. We need to be bold to share the word of God. We need to fulfill the Great Commission and not waste any time, and which is a revelation that Rule got here too. He said, I began to reflect on my life and wonder which way I would be told to go. I was watching this process for quite some time. And as I was watching, I saw my older brother was next in line. And I was intently focused on what was happening at this point because it was my brother. And as he stood in front of the angel, he was directed to the left. And I yelled out his name to see if it was really him. And he turned around, and his face and clothes were all dirty. The expression on his face was a look of a very sad lost soul who just realized it was the end. You know, people will be deceived all the way up to the end. That it is not the end, but it is. In a flash, I appeared next in line. Everything around me paused. My life flashed before my eyes. It only took a moment. And as I saw my life, I saw all the things that I had done in my life, good or bad. If it was for myself, it meant nothing. And I was ashamed of it. I also saw all the things that I had done for the Lord in my life, and it seemed like so little compared to the rest. A vision simultaneously appeared in my mind of the story of Esau and the morsel of meat. I clearly understood that all the things that the world offered and the things that I had done for myself were just like the bowl of soup that Esau sold his birthright for. Think about that, folks. There are a lot of Christians that still do everything for themselves. They're still feeding their ego, still pampering their flesh. No sacrificial life of presenting their bodies as a living sacrifice in order to serve the Lord. There are multitudes like that. Rule went on. He said, I was totally, completely ashamed. And even though I had grown up as a missionary's child and had known the Lord my whole life, I felt unworthy and expected to be directed to the left. The angel then showed me that what seemed were the last moments of my life, my heart had loved the Lord, and that this was grace. I was able to go to the right, and as he said these words, I was relieved. But then I remembered my brother who was on the escalator. He was staring right at me. The angel said something to me, but I could not hear him because of the screaming coming from the fire. I turned my attention to the angel, and I asked him what he said. He told me that I could choose someone to go with me, and I immediately said, my brother. But the angel said I could not choose him because he had already been judged, and I had a chance to talk to him on earth. I was shown Ezekiel 33 and 8. My brother is not a bad person, and I was shocked that he was on the left side, and I felt horrible. I wanted another chance to witness to my brother and tell him to put the Lord first. I also began to realize all the other people I loved that I had not seen yet. Then the angel told me I could pick another person that had not been judged yet. And I saw my twin brother, Reuben, and we both went through the door together. Well, isn't it interesting? Wouldn't we all feel that way if we had come to that point, all the people we had not talked to, you know? It is truly grace. I mean, we don't deserve to go through the right door, do we? It is truly grace, and the Lord does forgive us. But how much better you would feel had you done a good job because of the boldness of the Lord in your heart, and because you studied to show yourself approved of the gospel, and because you took the time to talk to people along the way. Rule went on. He said, as I walked through the door, a brightness surrounded me in a large white greeting room with white seats. Everything was pure, bright white. It seemed like I was there for hours. Very few people were in the room. I was waiting and thinking about all that I could have done for the Lord that I did not do. You know, the Bible speaks about the Lord wiping away every tear. You know, kind of lets you know that at least initially there may be a few tears for the Lord to wipe away. People who wished they had done better, right? Waiting was difficult. Finally, three people came through the door, and I rushed over to them, and I knew them. I anxiously wanted to ask if they had seen anyone else, and if the judgment was over. But before I got to them, I woke up. And as I woke up, I felt the Lord was giving me a second chance to encourage people to seek Him first in their lives. I also clearly remember the shame of not telling them the truth. Well, you know, I wish I could go back, you know, in my very young years with the Lord and straighten a few things out that I told. And I know everybody would feel that way, but most of all, I'd like to go back and talk to a lot of people I didn't talk to about the Lord, right? Oh, I was feeding sumptuously on the Word, you know, and probably if I'd have said a whole lot when I was young with the Lord, I would have told something that wasn't the truth, right? but I was feeding on the Word. And, you know, that's very important. The Lord says to seek to get the board out of your eye so you can see better, to get the mote out of your brother's eye, right? So it's very important that we do spend time in the Word so we can tell people the truth, because it is the truth that sets free. And many people are encouraged by their religion to go out and talk to people about the Lord, and when they get there, they don't have the message. It's kind of like the messenger that wanted to run and go tell David, you know. But when he got there, he didn't have the message. You know? Well, that's the way it is with the worldly church. You know, just go tell them to accept Jesus, right? Well, that's not all there is to it, is there? There's a lot more to it. I mean, sure, we can have a born-again spirit, but without a born-again soul, we have borne no fruit of what God has given to us, right? And your soul is born again through your obedience to the truth. And those who do have true faith and trust that Jesus took away their sins, he's going to do just that. And trust that he perfected them through the cross, he's going to do just that. And those that only have faith to get their toe in the door, they're not going to make it. So we need to get that message out too. There are multitudes of people that are self-satisfied in their religion, and they have to come out from among them and be separate. And if they don't, they're going to be fruitless, unprofitable servants cast forth into outer darkness. Rule says, I began to pray desperately and was asking the Lord what he wanted me to do. And if I was supposed to tell everyone, I wanted confirmation. Immediately I fell back asleep into a second dream, and I was surrounded by brightness and what looked like snow, but it was not cold. I saw in the distance a heavenly city with beautiful golden gates and a large white pillars. I began to quicken my pace to get to the gates. And as I approached the gates, the devil jumped out from behind one of the pillars. And I was wrestling with him for a long time to conquer him, to get to the gates. And the harder I tried, the harder it was. I was getting tired. The verse came to my mind. The devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Yes, also a verse comes to me that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. You know who's standing between us and the pearly gates, right? And it is the devil. He's doing everything he can to dissuade us, to get us to give him authority in our life. And it is a struggle. It is a fight. But we can't make it alone, can we? We have to have grace. Well, Rule said, I was praying, and I began to seek the Lord. I realized that I could not conquer him and get to the gates on my own. I cried out to Jesus. I said, I need you. I cannot do this on my own. Then I saw who I thought was Jesus. It was like he was watching me the whole time. He came out from the gates. He destroyed the devil. And he said to me, see, you cannot do it only through me. You must seek me and be yielded to me. I am the only way. And I woke up. These dreams put the fear of God into my life. And I know that I must really seek him to enter in. And nothing is more important. I hope that this can be an encouragement to you. I have read several testimonies of people who have had similar dreams and life after death experiences, which have also been a confirmation to me. Well, amen. Wow, if we could just feel the importance of being used of God for souls now, right? If we could just understand the importance that we are running out of time. You know, it's a kind of a thing in your mind. It's only in your mind sometimes, not down in your heart. But we just have a very short time left to bring souls into the kingdom. And many who have had a shallow experience are almost no better than the people in the world. You know, they need to know what discipleship is all about, what they're here for. The overwhelming majority of Christians do not understand that they have been called to partake of the benefits of Christ through faith. And the benefits are His life in us, right? Christ is the only one that's acceptable. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. You see, folks, the Lord is not after us. He's after Christ in us. That's the fruit that He wants to see. Most Christians think that all they have to do is accept Jesus, go on their worldly way, live their worldly life, and wait for the rapture, right? And that's sad that there's multitudes of people out there like that. They need teaching. They need understanding from God. And I just pray for a wondrous miracle of His wisdom, provision, direction to help us to have a part in this great harvest that's coming. Many people are not hungering for God. They're quite satisfied with the world. And they need a move of God's Spirit on their life. And then they need understanding. They need to be equipped to fight the devil. They haven't been fighting him. They've been living for him. They've been worshiping a false Jesus. A Jesus that's a worldly Jesus. And the gospel that's a worldly gospel. And so, praise God. Be in prayer, saints. I mean, pray that God would send forth laborers into the harvest. Oh, thank you, Father. Well, Father, I ask, Lord, that you touch hearts out there, that you would give dreams and visions like you gave Reuel, that dream, to encourage the brethren, Lord, to go and speak to their lost loved ones and to their lost friends and to their worldly Christian friends by the Lord, that you would anoint them to speak a word for you, Lord, a word that will touch hearts, Lord. I ask you, Father, to grant grace and repentance to your people to be witnesses for you, Lord, even as they seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, so that all the things that they need will be in their lives, Lord. But at the same time, Lord, let them be ready to give witness to you, confess you before men, so that they may be confessed before the Father. Lord, this is what we're asking, a great move of your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I'm going to share another one with you. This is Mark Thompson. And this is his coming out of prison dream. Do you know that Isaiah 61 spoke of the coming of the Lord and the coming of the man-child? And let me read that to you. Isaiah 61, 1, 2, and 3. Multitudes of people are going to be coming out of prison. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And as you know, Jesus in Luke chapter 4 quoted a good portion of this down to verse 2 or 2.5, actually, because he was the man-child, and that was his ministry, was to open the prison. And once again, folks, this ministry is coming down the road. John the Baptist ministry and then the man-child ministry. And they're coming very quickly. We're almost on the John the Baptist ministry, and it will be very short. And then the man-child ministry. And it is going to bring people out of prison. Not physical prisons, but prison houses in this world of bondage to this world, the flesh, and the devil, you know. Bound people that need to be set free. Well, Mark said, I was a prisoner inside of a prison, and I had the impression that I would have to complete my stay at the prison, and I would be set free. And in the next scene, I was in a safe house with what appeared to be other prisoners. We had completed our stay in the prison and were listening to someone discuss the rules of the house. I recall being able to leave the safe house and go to a place where they were preaching the gospel. And I saw a great room like a coliseum with many rows of seats surrounding a center figure. The people there were listening intently to what the speaker was saying. And I believe the speaker was David Eales. I had the impression that this was the truth that was being taught, and I wanted a better seat. I walked all the way down among the seats to the very first row. I could not find any seats available, so I sat down right where I was in the aisle. The people in the other seats thought this was strange, but I didn't care. I just wanted to hear what was being said. I wanted to be close to the source. And I noticed that other people started to do what I had done after observing my actions. Well, after the speaker finished what he was saying, he asked for a show of hands of those who had not been prayed for before to come to a second web service. I kind of let you know, folks, that we're right in God's ordained path here, and he really didn't know about this. But I thought the term web service was a bit strange, but I raised my hand. Note, I did not know about David's Pal Talk web ministry until after having this dream. The speaker came over to me. I never saw a platform in the center of this coliseum. I never have liked platforms. And vaguely remember that he kind of floated over to me. And I thought that this probably represented over the airwaves, you know. The word coming over the airwaves. Not in flesh, in person, right? The speaker put his hands on me, and as he prayed, I felt the Holy Spirit doing a work inside me. And I started to shudder or vibrate with the enormity of what was taking place. Oh, praise God. Yes, we need to pray. I've been trying to do more praying here lately for people out there that are listening. And, you know, it's been prophesied to us a few times that I was going to speak in coliseums, although I never really thought that it might be physical coliseums. I figured it was had a spiritual meaning, and that I would speak to larger and larger circles of people, like a coliseum's made, you know. Possibly each circle would pass on the message to the next, you know, because that's the way it's supposed to work, right? A kind of a geometric progression, you know. I tell you, you tell two, they tell two, and pretty soon it's spreading rampantly. Praise God. And I have believed, of course, that the web service and the radio programs are a fulfillment of that. And now I believe the TV programs, which, by the way, are going out over the web service and are part of it, too, are part of that. So it is going out circle by circle by circle. It's reaching out. And I praise God for that. And I've prayed for it for so many years, you know. I mean, from the very beginning, actually, I've prayed that the Lord would use me to touch lots and lots of souls, although I didn't know how he would do it, you know. Had no idea how he would do it. Matter of fact, I had people come and prophesy to me just wondrous things that I thought, wow, you know. But didn't have no idea how any of these things would come to pass. But people prophesied to me that I was going to be a teacher and that I was going to be this and that and the other. Some things I can't say. You know, that was the farthest from any ability that I had, you know, honestly. But, you know, God gives you those things to put a seed of faith in your heart, you know, so that so that you exercise faith in that, and He can bring it to pass. You know, He speaks to us things just like He spoke to Abraham. You know, He spoke to Abraham that he was going to have a son, and that multitudes, he would be the father of multitudes through this son. And none of that was possible, right? God even waited until it was impossible, until He brought it to pass. So really, no man can glory. You know that? Nobody can glory, because what do we have that we didn't receive, right? This is the grace of God, what He's doing. And all of it's going to be grace. And all of it's going to be using people that are not capable and are weak, you know, in the ways of the world. All of it's going to be that way. And that way God will get the glory, right? Thank you, Father. When we started this mission, this web service thing, back years ago, the Lord gave us signs that we were on the right path. Matter of fact, all the way through it, He gave us signs we were on the right path. You know, the Lord wants to make us fishers of men, doesn't He? And that's what He told Simon. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men, right? And when I started the website thing, there was a brother that lives not too far from me right now. He says he listens to our program late at night. And but I haven't seen him in quite a while, but he says he listens to it regularly. And his name is Mark Ward. And he helped me to set the site up, because I had no understanding about setting up any site. Wasn't interested in that kind of thing, but he helped me to set it up. And as he did, he told me about a dream that he had one night. And he saw himself going over into his neighbor's yard with his casting rod to teach him how to catch fish. And he demonstrated to his neighbor by casting his line out far, far from him, but it never hit the ground. It went out between the telephone wires into outer space. And he noticed that all the way down the line, there were many, many hooks on the line. And as he waited, a fish the size of a man was caught on one of the hooks. And then a fish as big as the sky, he said, came and swallowed the first fish. Well, that's kind of a geometric progression, a quick geometric progression, right? Well, that's what's been happening, folks. We've been in that process. And we know that the first fish the size of a man is talking about the individual, but the fish as big as the sky obviously is talking about a corporate body of fish, right? A corporate body of people coming to the Lord. Glory to God. And Mark asked me what I thought that this dream meant, and I told him, you know, that Jesus called us to catch men, and that fishing through the telephone lines had to be fishing on the internet. And I told him that the Lord was confirming that the site we were building was going to be very successful for the kingdom and in bringing a great harvest. And that first fish that was the size of a man was just to show that we were fishing for men, but the second fish was that corporate body that's going to come in through this work. And it's happening. Glory to God. And we just pray that God continue to use our little simple web service, as it was called in the first dream there, to reach out to masses of people and bring them into the kingdom. And, you know, it doesn't... God has brought together a very gifted body of people here, you know, and I'm so glad. I mean, the Lord, many years ago, I was connected with the body ministry and wanted to see that for many years. And only up until just recently have we begun to see more of that come to pass. And but it was just basically for years there, it was just me teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching, you know. And that's how we ended up with a lot of the audios on our site and a lot more that we couldn't put on our site. But God has sent so many gifted people to take up their place in the ministry and cause the word to get out. And I do wish all of you out there would pray for these folks, because they're many of them sacrificing their life and their time and what they might desire to do in the world to serve God. And I'm just so thankful for them. Matter of fact, I got a vision here that explains that perfectly as far as I'm concerned, and how that God put legs to this work. And this was given to Keith Boyd back in, I believe it was February of 07. And in the dream, he said David was a paraplegic. You know, I told you about the dream we had way back in the beginning, how that I was standing on a rock in the middle of the ocean. There was nothing but water around, and I was standing on a rock, but I had these leg braces on, like a polio victim would have, you know, these metal leg braces. And the Lord really spoke to me about that, you know, that it wasn't going to be by my own human strength that I would be able to stand on the rock, and the rock, of course, is Jesus Christ. It would be by external help, you know, and of course, the Lord Jesus is our help. He's the one that causes us to stand on the rock. He's the one that causes us to fight the battle with the devil so we can get to the pearly gates, right? It's all by grace, folks. We need to cry out to Him daily, right? Well, David was a paraplegic, and his legs didn't work at all. In fact, they were very thin and frail. There was a truck that reminded me of a military-type vehicle, a troop transport that had a canvas covering over the bed. It sounds like the Lord's army, right? Getting ready to go out, right? And David was at the back of the truck, somehow working on it. And I was watching him do this. And then he fell off the truck onto his back. I immediately thought, I have to go help him. And others that were watching did the same. Amen. And I tell you, it's happened. You know, Keith in particular has come to help us and is helping us restore those old audios on the site. And they're just awesome. And brethren are joining with him to edit them. And they're doing a real good job. We're planning on making, believe it or not, I know some of you listen, a lot of you have listened to those, and they just didn't seem like it could be possible to use them for a TV program, but believe it or not, we're going to do it. And God is helping, you know. And I immediately thought, I have to go help him, and others that were watching did the same. And we ran up to him, and he was on his back, and I grabbed his right arm, hand and arm, and others grabbed his other arm. And suddenly he was standing straight up. And I thought, wow, David is standing. Yeah. You know what? Mobility is in the kingdom of God and in this world is going to take more than one person. I guarantee you that. And the Lord is giving legs to this ministry, and it's not me, you know. It's all the help that he's sending that are very gifted at what they do. His legs were perfectly straight, and I was looking at him, and he was much taller than me. And at that time, I felt power come over me, and a strengthening, and a peace, and a big smile came over me. In other words, when he joined in the ministry to give legs to the ministry, well, the Lord empowered him to do this. That's what I think it means, anyway. As I walked away, I began pointing at people, and they began to get it too. And as I kept walking, I could point at groups of folks, and they would get it. That peace and that joy came over them. Not the crazy laughing or the falling out, but the peace and joy is what he says. And I felt the Lord tell me that the meaning of David's legs in the dream is that it is by the Lord's strength alone that makes him and this ministry to stand. And in the help of an awful lot of people, you know, obviously, because you know, they were helping me to get up on my feet, right? The power in the dream is the unleavened true gospel going out that is truly changing people's lives. That's why they were experiencing peace and joy. And David is right. This ministry is going to catch a big fish. Amen. So our ministry you know, until the Lord sent an awful lot of people, wasn't very mobile, you know, wasn't able to reach out and bring it to the people, right? And but with all the people that have come, very, very gifted people, it's amazing, you know, I mean, it isn't like we've gone looking for anybody, it's like God has just reached out there and grabbed the best people to do the job and brought them to us. I praise God for that. And we're beginning to stand up by God's grace. Praise be to God. And we're going to be reaching out to many, many people in darkness. If I got a minute, I'm going to read you one more here. Reaching those in religious darkness. And this is Garrett Crawford. He said, I had a dream that I just moved to a new town. For some reason, I thought I had to attend church services at the local denominational church. I was just going to give the church an honest chance to see what they were preaching to the people. This church was newly built and had beautiful stonework outside the entrance. It was like an office building or a courthouse. It was very appealing to the eyes. And there were two other denominations' headquarters in offices built in front of this church. I guess the denominational church leased the space to them. And when I was questioning why the two other church offices were there, I heard a man outside the entrance say something to the effect that this is a place of peace and unity. Yeah. Well, you know what's coming down the road, folks? A kind of peace and unity to the apostate church. Yes, it is. I then walked in the building and the church was full of people. Everyone was walking to and fro in the hallways, upstairs and down, like a colony of ants. While walking through the hallways, I saw many offices for the church's leadership. Some offices had titles that did not even make sense. But nonetheless, they had an office for it. Many people were walking around with their gold-plated name tags on, displaying their titles and positions. I even saw a boy no older than 17 that wore a gold-plated name tag that let everyone know that he had a position in the church of stature and privilege. He seemed to be too young to have a position like that. And I would say that that's the position of most people who lead the church today, is they're too young to have a position like that, too young in the Lord. During the church service, a minister was speaking and really saying nothing of value. I really tried to listen and understand what he was saying, but his words were powerless and nobody was really paying attention to him. And I looked around at the people in the pews and they were all dressed to the nines. And I could tell this was all they thought church was all about. Just coming to look nice and suffering through a boring sermon. I had an overwhelming feeling that these people thought they were doing a service to God by just showing up for a few hours on Sunday and listening to a lifeless sermon. At this point, they took an intermission, and they would take two every service. People would all leave the sanctuary and do whatever, and like get water or use the restroom or eat. And I thought this was strange. It seemed that the church was catering to the people. During the break from the service, I was walking in the hall and I passed a young man and I politely said hi. He then began to come on to me. He was a homosexual and he thought that I was hitting on him. And I was horrified. Started walking as fast as I could down the hall and did not look back. I did not understand how he would be attending this church unless they did not teach people it was sin. Well, you know, we're coming to the day. In fact, they've already attempted to make it law that you can't say that a homosexual is a sinner. In fact, you might not even be able to use the word very far down the road if they get that law passed. This is what was going on in this church. They were not teaching sin and repentance, and they did not want to offend anyone. And after that, I sat back down, and the second half of the service started. At this point, the preacher called up the church dancers, and the dancers began to do some kind of a dance routine. And it went on for a long time, and the people seemed to be entertained. And while I was going on, I was thinking to myself that I did not need this garbage, and I was not getting fed here in this building. And all I wanted to do was to go home and listen to UBM teachings. And after the dance show, the preacher asked David Eales to stand up and to preach to the people. And I was shocked. I did not know that he was even in the crowd. But I was surprised. And David opened his Bible and began to speak to the people. While he was speaking, the whole congregation focused on him. And he only spoke for a few minutes. And after he was done, the place erupted with applause and cheers. It was almost deafening. The same people that I had seen half dead while their preacher was speaking were almost coming out of their seats with joy and applause. You know, it is so joyful to find out the good news that God has for us. It is so joyful because so many people are beat down. They know that they're supposed to be pleasing God, but at the same time, they fall short. And they don't know why. They don't know that it's because they're not exercising faith in the true gospel. And when the good news hits people that desire to serve the Lord, it's a joyous thing, you know. It was not because they were worshiping David. It was because of the things he was saying that people had never heard before. And it fed them. It really did something to them. It made them alive. And they wanted more. But David did not get to speak anymore because the preacher quickly thanked him and asked him to stop. He said this was his church and he needed to have their attention. He then started addressing the people again with his lifeless sermon. And David was not offended and took it in stride and sat back down. But I could not get over the way the people had reacted to what David was saying. They were starving for the truth, and it showed. You know, folks, this is a prophecy here. I mean, down the road, the word is going to get out. It's not going to get out in a personal way of going to visit, you know, local churches. It's going to get out in the same way we're doing it, through the media. But it's going to get out. And it's going to touch a lot of people because many people don't know that what they're being offered from the Lord. And it's going to be a joyous thing to see God's people stand up and understand the benefits of the kingdom and the gospel, right? Well, during the end of the service, they were giving communion, but it was close to impossible for me because every time I took the cup of grape juice, my cup broke. The usher kept giving me them, and none of them would hold the liquid, and they kept breaking. But nobody else's was breaking like mine. After the service, I could not wait to get out of there. So obviously, he didn't want the cup of communion. The Lord did not want him to have the cup of communion in this place, right? You know, communion is having in common. And obviously, we don't want to have things in common with the apostate church. We want to do what the Lord commanded, and that's come out from among them. Be separate. Right? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. And as I ran out the door, I felt free. I jumped in my car, and as I was pulling away, I saw two security guards speaking to one another from their vehicles. And they were really far away, maybe 70 yards or more. But I had supersonic hearing and heard everything they said. And one was really worried and angry and started saying that the church could not compete with the teachings of people like David Eales and others that could be found on the Internet. See, the Lord's going to obviously use the Internet greatly, folks. And, you know, he's got people tucked away all over this earth, ready for a certain time. They've been perfecting their message and they've been perfecting the box it comes in, you know. And God's going to start releasing this all in a hurry. And you know what? I don't think you can release it until it's time. I'll tell you a little story in a few minutes. I could tell that they were in fear of losing their jobs and positions, and they had nice uniforms and expensive patrol cars that the church paid for. And after that, I pulled out of the parking lot and drove away. Well, again, I don't feel this has anything to do with me physically going to any churches, but our ministry is reaching those who are trapped in apostate religions in a small way now, but in a great way to come, and through the internet and radio and TV. And the leadership and their people are very immature, jealous, fearful of anyone who has a gift from God. And that's the way it's always been. That's the way it's going to be up until the end with Babylon, I tell you. Whether it was in the apostles' day or in our day, it's men are the same, and the nature of religion is the same. But very soon, folks, I know that a great move of the Spirit is about to go forth. You know, I had it was really a strange thing, because I had a man offer me, a man that didn't even particularly like me, frankly, I'll tell you the truth. He offered me a place on a pretty popular shortwave station, and at a good price. And I told him, well, I'll pray about it. You know, I don't know. We're doing shortwave out of Atlanta there, going north, south, east, and west. And this was coming down from up in the northeast there across the country. And it's a good station. And a good frequency was offered to me, although it was in the middle of the day. And so I thought about it, and I thought on it, and I thought that, hey, it could be fine. You know, it might be work good. It might be something God wants us to do, you know. And so anyway, I kind of hem-hawed around a while and asked if he had anything later in the day, you know, like in the evening, you know. And he said he didn't. So I thought it was kind of amazing, you know, what the Lord was showing me through this. Not that he was going to use this direction, but that it wasn't time yet, you know. He certainly did that, because he closed that door pretty quickly. And, you know, I thought, well, this guy was subbing out. He had bought up a bunch of time from this shortwave station, and he was subbing it out, you know. And so he was offering it to me. And so I called up the station itself, and asked them if they had anything that was later. And they said, yeah, we got an hour, which was a pretty good hour, I thought. And the price was even better. So I said, okay, we'll try that. We'll take an hour here, you know. And he said, fine. And I showed him the audios and so on. So I talked to the guy, the middleman, the next day, and told him I might take that hour just to try it and see how it works, you know. And he said, oh, I just sold that hour, and besides, I need to get a little bit more from you for this and that, you know. And I thought to myself, the Lord's closing that door. The guy that I bought the hour from, you know, straight from the station, he called me the next day and he said, you know what? He said, that hour that we were going to sell to you, I didn't know it, but my partner had sold it last week, you know. I says, okay, that's two for two. I said, Lord, you're telling me that this ain't the time. It's about to go forth, but this ain't it, you know. And I really believe that, folks. We're about to have an explosion in more ways than one. And I believe there's going to be an explosion of truth going forth. And I believe it's going to start with the John the Baptist ministry, and it's going to be very, very soon. And you know what? It ain't going to happen until that time. Now, if anything, we've realized that. The Lord has given us signs of that all the way down since we started the radio and the TV ministry. He's given us signs of that. You know, it's like he wanted us to see that it can't happen until that particular time. But he's prophesied to us, he's given dreams to us over and over, and it is going to happen, and it is going to go forth in a great way. It's amazing. I think God wants to show us that even though there's a real short time left, that He is going to do such a wondrous supernatural work that it's going to bring in all the people that the Father has given to the Son. You read in John chapter 6 that Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me." And of course, He's talking about the elect. Not the call, but the elect. And in a very short time, folks, the Lord is going to show us what He can do. Now, we've never really seen what the Lord can do, have we? We've seen what man has tried to do, and we've seen man's best self-efforts. But we've never seen what the Lord can do. And when He gets to showing us in the very near times to come, I believe we're going to be just awed. You know, just awed at what He can do in such a short period of time. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. What the church has failed to do in 2,000 years, the Lord's going to do in 7. And, when Jesus gets in the ship, when He gets in the boat, right, what can happen? You know, the disciples rowed around all night and threw their net out and didn't take a thing. And Jesus comes on board. He says, "Throw your net out on the right side of the boat." And it's so heavy with fish, it's breaking. Well, I think that's what's about to happen. You know, we're just working on our nets and getting them ready. And the time is coming. And God's going to do an awesome work. And everybody's going to know it's Him. Everybody's going to know that no man could do this. Praise be to God. Oh, Father, we praise You. You do all things well, Lord. And without You, we can do nothing. And surely that's what You're showing us, Lord. That without You, we can do nothing. Even as our Lord Jesus said. And certainly if He can say that, we can say it. And Lord, we praise You. We praise You for Your wondrous plan. We praise You that sometimes we stumble into Your plan and just are awed at what You're doing. And so, Lord, we know that You're going to get us there. We know that You're going to empower us. You're going to provide. You're going to open the doors. And we profess it now. Lord, We confess the things that You've shown to us openly before men, that You are going to do a mighty, awesome work, bringing in multitudes into the kingdom, an overwhelming harvest. And at the same time, Lord, You're going to cleanse Your body of those self-righteous Pharisees who have claimed to be the people of God, but have done everything to hinder the kingdom and hinder God's people. Like You said, Lord, they stand in the door. They won't let anybody go in, and they won't go in themselves, but they just stand in the door. And Lord, we praise You that You're going to open that door wide and that You're going to lead Your flock through. We give praise unto You, O Father. Lord, work in us to will and to do of Your good pleasure. Just put the joy of the Lord in our hearts and help us to find Your will by Your grace, O Lord. Thank You so much, Father.